Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. History is infinitely richer, more varied, more colorful, and yes, messier than the version we learned in school, says Pulitzer Prize-winning author Tony Horwitz. In this case, he's talking specifically about the period between Columbus and Jamestown, 1492 to 1607. Cabeza de Vaca is part of that rich tapestry.
I admire him. He's, you know, the great naked wanderer, and again, one of these rare sympathetic figures who essentially is conquered by America and becomes a defender of the Indians he had set out to conquer, and writes a wonderfully vivid account, to me, one of the great adventure and survival stories of all time, and the first great American road trip.
After working as a foreign correspondent for the Wall Street Journal and a staff writer for the New Yorker, Tony Horwitz chose to move to book writing to have, in his words, the luxury to delve more deeply into history and context. The results include Blue Latitudes, Confederates in the Attic, and Baghdad Without a Map. Bill Russell and I knew that exploring a blank spot in American history with Mr. Horwitz would once again recast our sense of our nation and ourselves. Tony Horwitz, the scientists say that pattern recognition may be the key to intelligence. And I was thinking about that as I read A Voyage Long and Strange, thinking, well, that's fine, but the pattern might be wrong. And you might be thinking that you got the pattern, and then you look again, and it's kind of that reverberation process of, you remember those tiles on the floor, the old-timey tiles with the black and white, and they kind of oscillate? Yeah. I felt that way thinking about North America and the whole coming together of the human species after 60 or 80,000 years, as we reunited with our brethren and sisteren, if you will. Uh-huh. Did that question of pattern find
a pattern
you?
In the sense of the pattern we have in our heads about how the story went doesn't fit the reality? If that's what you're asking, absolutely. Not only are the myths wrong in many cases, but even the bits we think we know about are mostly misconceptions. So partly it was discovering all these stories that didn't fit the pattern and I didn't even know about, but it was also revisiting parts of the pattern that actually, once you take a hard look at them, they rearrange themselves, whether it's Columbus or John Smith or the familiar figures, in fact, become quite unfamiliar once you kind of delve into them.
That's good news and bad news, isn't it?
To me, it's all good news.
Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Keeps you gainfully employed.
it's more that it's the truth is so much more interesting than the fiction, and perhaps that's always true, but it's particularly true in this case, is that the real story of this period is infinitely richer, more varied, more colorful, and yes, messier than the version we learned in school about sort of brave Columbus and solemn pilgrims in funny hats. That wasn't really a very exciting version, in my view.
It also really wasn't sort of it.
No, it was, you know, it was false, but I think it's one reason kids are turned off by history. We're taught this sort of, you know, powdered wigs and buckle hats and the same old stuff.
The end.
The end, and it's really not very exciting, apart from being wrong.
I think I'm Miss Potted Histories.
Potted?
Potted.
Potted, like plants?
They're the simple-minded version. And listening to you respond to that, I hadn't really made the connection. In a way, what you've just done is a continuation of at least Confederates in the Attic. Because it's very much that same sense of, on the one place you're looking for, I mean, you're looking for the absolute history, but then there's the reality of people's relationship to the context in which they're apart. You know, with respect to Southerners, there's a weird aberration in there. But our relationship with history is much richer than facts and what happened before. Right. Ultimately, we inhabit that history. And that's where it starts getting complicated and interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's part of what I like best is trying to figure out where the two intersect and how the past bleeds into the present in ways we may or may not be aware of, but also how the present bleeds into our view of the past. So yeah, ultimately it's very hard to separate the two. And also if you look at the history of memory, how we've remembered, say, Columbus has been on a roller coaster over the centuries. In 1892, on the 400th anniversary of his sale, he's a hero, and by 1992, he's a villain. And who knows, you know, where we'll be at, you know, whether people even remember him by 2092. So the story of memory itself is constantly changing. So yeah, it's not a static story.
And in a way, there's a comic book kind of caricature that goes on when you've got to either have him as villain or hero, that there's all that subtlety that has gotten washed out. We will come back and explore with Tony Horowitz much of that subtlety, or Tony subtlety with much of the Horowitz, in just a moment when we return with Tony Horowitz. We hope you'll be with us.